chapter 24 and begin with me, if you would, at verse number 1. Notice what the Word of God says. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his word. Keep your place there. This message this morning is entitled, just as you see it on the screen here, Jesus is alive. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you this morning for the fact that your word does tell us that when those ladies went there that day, they saw the empty tomb. The stone was rolled away. Jesus was not there. And I thank you today that this is, again, so important to our faith. We realize it's important that Jesus died, but it's also important that we believe that he rose again. And Father, help us this morning to understand your word, make application in our life, in Jesus' name, amen. Very early on the first Easter morning, a small group of ladies went to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ to anoint his body with spices. On their way, they questioned among themselves who is going to roll away the stone. What was so significant about that question was the weight and the size of that stone, but also when you consider that the chief priest in that day had concocted a lie because they remembered the words of the Lord Jesus when he said that I will rise after the third day. And so they concocted a story. They went to Pilate and said, can we do something here? Can you give us some soldiers that will stand watch, and then also let's seal the stone with the Roman seal, because if anyone breaks that Roman seal, they are guilty of death. But I tell you this morning that their best plan was no match for the power of God. Because when those ladies got to the tomb that morning, when they were questioning who's going to roll away the stone was already rolled away. God had caused it to happen. He raised his son Jesus from the dead, just as he said. If you notice in verse number 22 of our passage in Luke chapter 24, verse number 7, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they, that is, those ladies, remembered his words. You see, it was very important for them to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I heard about a guy who had put his faith in fortune cookies. One day he opened a fortune cookie that read, You are a poor, pathetic, gullible fool who seeks advice from bakery products. Well, I tell you this morning that we do not seek our advice. We do not put our faith in fortune cookies. We put our faith, one, in the Word of God, and we put our faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning I want us to notice some things about the Lord Jesus Christ, two main truths about who he is. And would you notice with me, first of all, that we see that Jesus is our Redeemer. According to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So the Bible there is telling us that Jesus is our Redeemer. And as he is our Redeemer, there was a purpose of that, to forgive us of our sins. This reveals the need for our redemption. The reality is, every one of us in here this morning, the Bible says, have all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, then Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, the Bible says for us in that passage that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we notice that the heart of Jesus is the redemption of all people. He wants all people to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He wants all people to come to know him as personal Lord and Savior. In fact, you can see the heart of Jesus in the gospel accounts and his passion for people and his desire to redeem people. For instance, you go to John chapter 4 and you will find in that account of a woman had been caught in adultery, and she was ready to be stoned. Literally, the crowd of that day caught this woman in the act of adultery, and they had stones in their hand ready to stone her, because according to the Old Testament law, that was the way you were to do it. And we notice that Jesus says to her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. He wasn't condoning her sin, he was forgiving her, because that's just the heart of Jesus. Then I think about a man named Zacchaeus. He was my size. Say, how you know? Because he was small of stature. And he had climbed up into a sycamore tree to see the Lord that day. And the Lord looked up and he saw him. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. And the Lord Jesus Christ changed that man's life. Again, I think about a man in the scripture who was blind. His name was blind Bartimaeus, and how the Lord had touched him and healed him and said this to him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And then we find another account in scripture of a woman at the well. And in that context, the Lord Jesus Christ had sat beside that well that that woman would frequent every day. And as Jesus sat there beside that well, he asked the woman, give me to drink, give me some water. And she thus goes and gets involved in a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the conversation, Jesus reveals something to her. He said, you know, you have had five husbands, and the man that you're living with is not your husband. And she was totally taken back by this, because how could this man, the one that she just met, know anything about her? But she was soon going to realize that this was not like any other man. And the Lord Jesus Christ was able to give her spiritual water that she would thirst no more. And she goes back into her town and she said this, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Her life was forever changed, because the heart of Jesus is the redemption of all people. And reality is, every one of us in this congregation this morning, we are all in need of forgiveness of sin. And Jesus made that possible. We see not only is there that need for redemption because all of us have sinned, but there is the payment of redemption. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2, who, speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, that he might redeem us from all sin. In these last few weeks, we have been looking at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he went through. And we think about the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and how that Jesus Christ truly paid it all. And this morning, there is not a person here who can just really fathom all of the pain, all of the torture that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ had gone through, and yet he went through it all to purchase your salvation and my salvation. It's just like the songwriter wrote, that Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And so, church, this morning we realize that Jesus died on that cross. He went through just untold pain and agony. In fact, the greatest agony of all is as Jesus is hanging there, he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God, who is of pure eyes and to behold evil, could not look upon his son at that moment because his son was the sin bearer. Your sin, my sin, was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave himself for us as the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so I can tell you this morning, on the authority of the Word of God, the reason Jesus hung on the cross, if you would, for you and for me, was one reason, and that is the reason of love. For God so loved the world, God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we see that Jesus is our Redeemer. But church, I'm here to tell you this morning that it is wonderful to know that he is our Redeemer, but there is great news. Jesus is not on the cross. Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead, just as he said. And we see this morning, that he is alive. He has conquered death. According to Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. One commentator wrote it this way. He said, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the crowning proof of Christianity. If the resurrection did not take place, then Christianity is a false religion. If it did take place, then Christ is God and the Christian faith is absolute truth. Amen. And the Bible tells us that if he had not risen, our faith is in vain. He was seen, I remind you, the Bible says, above 500 witnesses had seen the risen Lord. He was seen by his disciples. He was seen by Mary Magdalene and these women that had come that morning. And though they saw the tomb empty, later they would see him. He has conquered death. You know, often I will go to a store called Sam's Club. I'm sure you have been there. And as you go there and buy what you need to buy and you leave, every time you leave the exit door, there is someone there to check your receipt, because that receipt is proof that you have made payment for that which you are walking out with. Well, may I say this morning that there is another receipt, and that is that the resurrection is proof of payment. That Jesus Christ, yes, he died, but he rose again. Jesus is alive. And we praise the Lord for that this morning. He is alive, and because he is alive, he offers eternal life. Now listen to me carefully. Religion cannot give eternal life. Being religious does not guarantee a relationship with Jesus Christ. I once was religious. My parents took me to church every time the doors were open. Yes, I was raised Baptist, but that isn't what changed my life. But every time those doors were open, I was there. I was religious. I was going through the motions. I could learn some of those songs that the people were singing. Didn't have screens back in those days. They had the hymnals, and we would sing from the hymnals and so forth. And I learned a lot of those songs. Even today, I don't even need to use the hymnal for most of the songs that we sing because I just know them. I grew up with them. But just growing up in church, just being religious, just having a denominational label does not guarantee a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse number 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The Bible again says in John 11, 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Underscore that phrase in that verse, "he that believeth in me." Anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, shall have eternal life. Though they were dead, yet shall they live. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Anyone that believes. I read about a stewardess during pre-flight instructions on oxygen masks. By the way, those of you that fly, do you ever pay attention to them? I mean, I like a few of the flights, particularly with Southwest. They'll have some real excited stewardess and stewards, and they really try to make it interesting, so you kind of tune in and listen. But by and large, you don't really listen. But you know, when we're probably going to wish we had listened is when that plane might be going down. Oh, what am I supposed to do? But I read about a stewardess that during her pre-flight instructions on the oxygen mask, she said this: "In the event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, mask will descend from the ceiling. Stop screaming, grab the mask, pull it over your face. If you have a small child traveling with you, secure your mask before assisting with theirs. And if you are traveling with more than one small child, pick your favorite." Well, praise God this morning. God doesn't say, "you, not you, you, not you, you, not." No, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the salvation is open today. I think of what Jesus said in John 6 and verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." I think about that phrase where he says, "everyone that believeth on him." Have you believed? Have you turned to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received him as your personal Lord and Savior? Because then he says, here's the promise, "I will raise him up at the last day." Some of you are familiar with the name Harry Houdini. Harry Houdini had died in October of 1926. He is still one of the most famous magicians ever, with his specialty being spectacular escapes. In his shows, they would seal him in coffins. He would escape. They riveted him into a boiler. He would escape. They sewed him in canvas bags. He escaped. They locked him in a milk can. He escaped. They sealed him in a barrel. He escaped. Once he was even locked in a maximum security prison, and Houdini still got out. But then in October 1926, death laid hold his hands upon Houdini and put him in a grave, and he is yet to escape. Houdini told his wife before he died, get this now, this is what he said to her: "If there is any way out, I will find it, and I'll contact you on the anniversary of my death." For 10 years, she kept a light burning over his portrait, and at the end of 10 years, she turned out the light. For you see, death had Harry, and he couldn't escape. And may I say to all of us this morning, we will not escape death either. For the Bible says that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Houdini could not escape it, and we cannot escape it. So I ask you this morning, do you know that you have eternal life? You see, you can personally know that you do. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 and 13, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So this morning, the Bible clearly teaches there, either you know Jesus and have him as your Savior, you have spiritual life. If you don't know him as your Savior, you don't have spiritual life. There is no middle ground. Either you know him or you don't. Either he's your Savior or he is not. But he stands ready today to save whosoever will call upon him. Just like a man by the name of John Liggett. John Liggett served a life sentence for murder. While in prison, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He built the caskets for Billy and Ruth Graham while serving time in Louisiana State Penitentiary, better known as Angola. Billy Graham, as you can see in this picture here of his casket that John Liggett built, every picture of that pine box carries the message that no matter who you are or what you've done, God's eternal love and forgiveness are available to all. The man in the casket and the builder whose name is engraved on the casket, they live very different lives, obviously. But now, because of God's amazing grace, they're in the same place as brothers in Christ. Because you see, John Liggett, even though he was guilty of the crime, even though he was in that prison, someone introduced him to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus Christ forgave his sin. And this morning I tell you that your sins can be forgiven no matter what you have done. The grace of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In just a few months, I'm going to have a birthday. Birthdays don't bother me. I shouldn't say that. Turning 40 didn't bother me. Some reason, turning 50 bothered me. That sounded ancient. I don't know why. I just really struggled turning 50. But pretty soon, a few months, I'll be 58 years old. I was born August 25th, 1960. But I can tell you there was another birthday in my life that is just so significant to me. It happened when I was a 9-year-old boy. I was just sitting in a church just like this. I heard my pastor preaching just like I am this morning. It wasn't on Easter Sunday, but he was preaching a message, and I understood it even as a 9-year-old boy. And that day, the Lord came into my life and changed me. That was the day of my spiritual birthday. So I ask you this morning, in your life, I know you can think of when your birthday was, but what about a spiritual birthday? Can you look at a time in your life, anywhere in your life, when you recognize some truths that I'm about to share with you? One, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible then says that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. And through his death, his blood was shed, and through that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins can be forgiven. And then the Word of God teaches us that God wants to give to you a gift called the gift of eternal life. Eternal life, just by its very word, means that which is forever. You can't really fathom forever. You can't imagine living forever and ever and ever. But yet, the Bible says that we are going to one day live forever in one of two places. One, with Jesus if we know him as our personal Lord and Savior. If we reject him as our Savior and die in that state of rejection, we go to a place called hell. I tell you, my friend, you do not want to go there. You don't want to go to a place called hell, which was originally created for Satan and his demons. But whosoever does not receive Jesus Christ as Savior and dies without him, they go to a place called hell. No matter how good of a life here that you may live. Because you see, it's not based on living a good life on how we get to heaven. You can be the most upright, moral person in the world. You may never swear, you may never cheat, you may never lie, you may be faithful to your wife, you may be faithful to your husband, you may be one of the most faithful people, everybody respects you, everybody says nice things about you, but at the end of the day, that goodness is not good enough to get you to heaven. For the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we could work our way to heaven, then what Jesus did on the cross was totally meaningless. But he went to that cross, he suffered and died and cried out on the cross and said, it is finished. Now the way of salvation is made possible, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I ask you this morning, have you ever come to that place in your life when you personally, no one else made the decision for you, but where you personally cried out and said, Lord, I am a sinner. I believe that you died for me and rose again. I turn from my sin. I ask you to come into my life and save me. Have you ever come to the Lord Jesus and made that personal decision? Today I want to say that he is ready to save you. He is ready to transform your life. He is ready to give you hope. He is ready to give you eternal life. But may I say that you have to come to him and cry out and say, Lord, save me. Then you too can look at this day, April 21st, 2019, when your spiritual birthday took place. Now listen carefully this morning. Salvation is not something you achieve, it is something you believe. Let me repeat that. It is not something you achieve, it is something you believe. Jesus paid it all. He's asking you to believe on him. Here's the promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I invite you today, if you never have, turn to Christ and ask him to come into your life and be your Savior. Do it today. Let's pray with every head bowed and every eye closed. And now, Father, I do thank you today for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he arose, that he is a living Savior, and that he will save whosoever will. And Father, today, for those in this congregation that do not know the Lord Jesus, if they can't look in their life and say, you know, I've never had a spiritual birthday, may today be the day when that takes place. When they ask you to come into their life and to save them. Help them to do it this morning, if you would, with confidence, because your word is true, that when we call upon you, when we turn from our sin, and we ask you to come into our life, you said that you would save. And so, Father, help us to take you at your word today. In Jesus' name, not their heads bowed and their eyes closed. I ask you today, is there ever been a time when you've asked the Lord to come into your life and save you? Can you look at your life and say, there is a spiritual birthday in my life? I know that with great confidence, not because of who I am, but because of God's grace in my life. There has been that day, there has been that moment when I've truly have humbled myself before the Lord and I've asked him to come into my life and to save me. Now, with our heads bowed, if you can say that with confidence this morning, would you raise your hand, rub your hand, say, yes, Pastor, I have asked Jesus to come into my life and save me. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, there were those here this morning who could not raise your hand, and I appreciate your honesty. Now, I wonder this morning, are you concerned about your soul and where you will spend all of your eternity? Today, the Lord stands ready to save you. He wants to come into your life and be your Savior. And today, I want to encourage you to ask Him to come into your life and save you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I trust that you will pray it from sincerity and a heart that says, you know, I truly want Jesus as my Savior. And won't you pray right now and say, Dear Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I believe that you shed your blood to forgive me of my sin. I believe that you rose again the third day. And I ask you to come into my life, forgive my sin, and save me right now. Now I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you just prayed in that prayer and you asked the Lord to come into your life and to save you right now, would you raise your hand right where you're at? I'm not going to call your name. Just want to remember you in prayer this morning. Say, yes, Pastor, I just prayed and I just asked the Lord to come into my life and to save me right now. Just lift your hand up. I'll acknowledge it. You put it right back down. Anybody at all while we wait? Anybody at all? I wonder if be those here this morning say, no, Pastor, I didn't pray that yet in my life, but I really am concerned about it, and I would that you remember me in prayer. If that's your need this morning, would you lift your hand up, rub your ass, say, yes, Pastor, that's me. That's me for sure. I haven't had that spiritual birthday. I haven't asked Jesus to come into my life and save me. Yes, God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Say, I haven't done that yet, but I would that you remember me in prayer, that I will settle that very, very soon. Anybody else while we wait? Just lift your hand up and put it right back down while we wait. And now, Father, how I thank you for the power of your word. And I do remember this one in prayer who, while they cannot look at a time when a spiritual birthday has taken place in their life, when they can't think of a time when they've truly asked the Lord to come into their life and save them, but they're concerned about it. And so how I would pray for this one, that you would help this individual to settle this very, very soon. And that they would, by faith, cry out and say, Lord, save me. Thank you that the way is clear, that the way has been made possible. It's not difficult because Jesus did all the work. We simply, by faith, take you at your word that if we'll call and ask Jesus to come into our life and be our Savior, He will save us. And so help this one to come to that point very, very soon. And Father, those of us who have already made that decision, we rejoice that our Savior is alive. Now, mindful of the words of that angel that said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now go and tell. This resurrection day, this Easter Sunday, is a day for us as Christians. We rejoice that our Savior lives. But it's also a good day for us to, if you would, just make a deeper commitment to you to say, I'm going to live all out for my Lord, and I'm going to go and tell it to as many people as I can and share it with them because He is alive. And so, Father, help us as your people to live for you in these days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.